This is God's word for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So eons ago, when I was a child, after dinner one evening, my family, we were all sitting around the dinner table, and I do not know how we got onto this topic, but we asked one another, if we could be reincarnated as our favorite food, what would it be? So I want to ask you that this morning. If you could be reincarnated as your favorite food, what would it be?
Pie.
With ice cream or not? Straight up. Pie. What else?
Mashed potatoes.
Chocolate cheesecake. I'll take that.
Watermelon.
Watermelon. Sirloin steak. I knew someone would say that. Just to get me, right? The woman who's going to be reincarnated as quinoa and roasted vegetables. Actually, no, it would be ice cream. Anyway, thank you. It's fun to think about that, right? It's kind of fun to play with your food, even in theory, and fun to think about becoming what you eat or what you love to eat. That's essentially what Jesus is getting at here as we come to the end of this sixth chapter of John this morning. Becoming what we eat. Being what we eat. Those who eat his flesh and drink his blood abide in him, and he abides in them. Now, for John, it's important to know that abide is a really key word here. Abide means to be one. It's a major theme in his gospel. It's a word that expresses the deep mutuality of relationship between God and Jesus and the believer. Abiding is a mutual indwelling of God in Jesus and believers, such that they become one, indistinguishable from one another. The same way you feel when you're eating pie or cheesecake or watermelon or steak. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. We become what we eat. Now, I will acknowledge for you all, if you're hesitant to say it, that this does not have the same fanciful ring to it, does it, as becoming a slice of cheesecake or a scoop of ice cream. This sounds more like a zombie movie than it does like the gospel. Right? Right. I saw you guys giggling about it. I know. It's gross. Gross to think about, right? So it shouldn't surprise us that even in Jesus' day, the disciples' response was, this teaching is difficult. Difficult can also be translated as unpleasant, which is a nice way to say gross. This teaching is difficult and gross, that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood to have eternal life. This teaching is so difficult and gross that people start leaving in droves. Steadily, as chapter 6 progresses, followers start dropping away. As Jesus moves from a miraculous feeding of 5,000 people to being bread from heaven to being flesh and blood, as his teaching becomes more and more difficult, the crowd gets smaller until finally not just the followers, but even many of his disciples turn back and no longer go about with him. Jesus starts with a mega church. 5,000 people. By the end of the chapter, there are 12. You all thought you were worried about membership decline? Jesus' flesh and blood as the food that endures for eternal life. Jesus' flesh and blood as the way for believers to abide in God, and God to abide in them. This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? Who wants to accept it? When John wrote this gospel early in the second century, there were a lot of ideas. There we go. There were a lot of ideas floating around about who Jesus was and who Jesus wasn't. A couple of those ideas said that Jesus really wasn't human. He only seemed human. The material world, our fleshly world, our flesh, our bodies were corrupt. They were evil even. So there is no way that God would dwell in human flesh. Jesus could never have the same flesh and blood as you and me, or the same type of human experiences as you and me, and still be divine. Yuck. So John wanted the early Christians who heard his gospel to know that Jesus was flesh and blood. He is God's word made flesh. That's how John begins his gospel. In the beginning was the Word made flesh. Jesus is God's Word made flesh, dwelling among us, and in fact, offering his flesh and blood so that we can abide in God and in one another. But this teaching is difficult. We are very often reluctant to accept it. We move through our 21st century lives with the incarnation, God's Word made flesh, safely tucked away back in the first century, a temporary moment in history, a historical moment in time that's not really meant for our flesh and blood living today. But Jesus makes it clear in such gross terms that we are inclined to listen to it and ponder it. The bread he gives for the world is his flesh, and when we eat this bread, his flesh, he abides in us. He abides in our flesh. Jesus' life-giving presence in our flesh and blood reality. This is where the teaching gets hard. Jesus dwelling in our flesh. Jesus dwelling in your flesh. Jesus dwelling in your neighbor's flesh. If we live this way, as people in whom Jesus abides, as people who share flesh with God's Word made flesh, I believe our 21st century living would be quite different. Would children have been separated from parents at our southern border if we lived as people in whom Jesus abides? Would LGBT folks wonder if it's safe to hold the hand of the person they love as they walk through the Crossroads Mall if we lived as people in whom Jesus abides? Would the people of Flint have gone so long with poisoned water if we lived as people in whom Jesus abides, would so many children have been assaulted by religious leaders if we lived as people in whom Jesus abides? Would families in our communities have to choose between paying the electric bill and buying school supplies if we lived as people in whom Jesus abides? Would 68 million people on this earth be displaced from war, famine, persecution, if we lived as people in whom Jesus abides? We know the answer. These distorted and oppressive realities persist because just as in Jesus's day, this teaching is difficult. It is unpleasant to imagine divine and human abiding together in one flesh. It is difficult to imagine God abiding in us because then we would have to be vulnerable, just as God was vulnerable when God became human. And our society does not value vulnerability. This teaching is difficult because it is unpleasant to imagine Jesus's flesh dwelling in our homeless neighbor, dwelling in our refugee neighbor, dwelling in our really difficult to like neighbor, because then we would be compelled to encounter them as someone who has something to offer us, something to give us, just as Jesus had to give the people who came to him. And our society values self-sufficiency. We do not value mutuality. Many of Jesus' disciples then and now turn away because this teaching is so difficult. It is unpleasant and really difficult to rest our hope in the grace-filled possibilities of life that come because Jesus abides in human flesh, while we repeatedly experience the triumphs of human pride and power. So Jesus turns to us and asks, "Do you also wish to go away?" Is this teaching too difficult for you too? Peter's answer speaks volumes. Really, in what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "Jesus, I get this. This makes perfect sense. I understand all of this. I'll take that flesh that you're offering. I want you to abide in me." He doesn't say that. He says nothing as confident as that. He simply says, "Where else can we go? Where else can we go? You're the one with the words of life. You are the Holy One of God. Where else can we go?" As I look out among all of us gathered here, whether we are here every week or simply whenever we can make it, I believe we come because, like Peter, we are caught somewhere in between this life-giving promise of Jesus' flesh and blood and the flesh and blood realities of human existence. Right? We're caught in this chasm in between. Like Peter, we sense, where else can we go? Here is where we experience the words of life, the word of life that God shares with us in Jesus. Here is where we can come with all the flesh and blood realities of our 21st century lives and hear once again that the one who dwelt in our flesh still abides in us and we in him. Here is where we can come to join together with all the varieties of flesh and blood in which Jesus abides. Here is where we can taste and see that God is so good, even when the world is at odds with all this goodness. Here is where we gather to become what we eat.